And welcome back. It is the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. We are joined now by my guy, Matt Miller. He is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. You can also read his work on BleacherReport.com. Matt, how are you doing this morning, my man?
Doing great, Matt. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Been too long. It's finally football season. We can finally talk about some real tangible on-field stuff. What are the Chiefs going to do about this offensive line? It looks like it's just in shambles right now.
You know, it really does. And it's funny because you could kind of see it all coming together over the course of the offseason. You know, they lose three guys who started for them last year with John Osamoah, Brandon Albert, Jeff Schwartz. And it looks like, okay, they're going to go young. And you know, Eric Fisher is finally going to step into that left tackle role. Donald Stevenson was a guy I really liked as a guy who was going to take that next step. Now he's suspended. Fisher has struggled. So it's definitely a concern in Kansas City. I can tell you that, you know, they will be looking at the roster cutdowns as they happen this week to see if someone gets put out there that maybe they can grab and be a contributor. You know, they did that last year. They picked up Marcus Cooper, and he helped quite a bit. So I think that they have to, you know, have those pro scouting guys really paying attention to every player who hits the market and saying, is this a guy who can help us? Because they need it pretty badly right now, especially with that suspension of Stevenson. That's really going to throw the entire offensive line into kind of a weird situation.
I know you mentioned looking at the waiver wire potentially, but doesn't it make a huge difference that last year they were number one in that waiver wire and this year they're down in the early 20s?
Absolutely. It's a huge change. And, you know, Peter King had a great note in Monday Morning Quarterback this week about the Houston Texans have even brought in their college scouting guys. And they've said, okay, you were going to scout these preseason games because we have waiver priority. So for people who don't know, the team with the worst record in the NFL the year before have priority on the waiver wire. So if let's say the Baltimore Ravens cut a player, well, this year the Texans had priority to say, we want that guy. And last year the Chiefs did a great job of taking advantage of that. I think they picked up six or seven players who actually made the roster who were previously cut by another team. So it's definitely something that you have to be aware of. And I think teams are getting smarter about preparing for cutdowns because there are so many talented players who are just let go out there now, and you can definitely find a steal if you're paying attention.
So the offensive line's a question for Kansas City. The wide receiver group, I think most people can say, is a question for Kansas City. A lot of people have questions about the quarterback play as well. What can fans feel good about on this offense other than Jamaal Charles?
Well, I think Travis Kelce has looked good at tight end. Yeah, we didn't get to see him last year because of injury, but he's a playmaker, and we've seen some speed from him. And I think that's really what the offense has missed, you know, probably since Tony Gonzalez, is a playmaking tight end. And you know, with Dwayne Bowe suspended for the opener, you know, they're going to rely on guys like Donnie Avery and A.J. Jenkins and Junior Hemingway at receiver, which is terrifying. So I think we're going to see a heavy dose of Jamaal Charles, a lot of Niall Davis. Hopefully they can work Anthony Thomas into, you know, some options as a receiver in kind of a Darren Sproles type role. But I think Kelce's going to be probably the primary focus of that passing game, at least early on.
We're speaking with Matt Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. You can read his stuff. It's excellent. On BleacherReport.com. He's their lead NFL and NFL draft analyst. So switching gears to the defense, is this defense going to be as good as they were last year, or did they just take too many hits in the secondary?
You know, I think they've taken too many hits in the secondary, and they're going to be better at spots. You know, I think Alan Bailey is a nice addition at a left defensive end with his athletic ability. Dontari Poe is only going to be better. We know how good the linebackers are with Houston, Johnson, and Holly. I think adding someone like Dee Ford is really going to help out. James Michael Johnson has impressed me as well as another inside linebacker. So they have a good group there. But in the secondary, I mean, you start to worry. I thought Brandon Flowers was, you know, really misused last year. They tried to move him inside, have him play in the slot. I don't think that's what he does well. So we'll see this year. I do like Marcus Cooper as a guy who is a developmental player, and they've gone to this longer, leaner type of corner now. You know, Philip Gaines, Sean Smith, they have Ron Parker, who is a pickup from Seattle. So they have guys who have some size and some length now. They just need to develop. But I think it could be another rough year. Eric Berry, obviously a good player, but You know, the other three positions in the secondary are pretty big question marks.
Do we know what's going on with Eric Berry? I know it's some kind of heel, like tendonitis or something. Is that something that I don't know how much you know on the subject, but is that something that's going to hurt him throughout the season, or is that just something that's going to hurt him for the preseason?
You know, it's something you have to watch because, you know, little injuries like that can definitely become a chronic issue where, you know, it flares up, you know, in the middle of the week or in a game. It's just never, you know, when you're talking about your feet, injuries there are pretty, you know, delicate. So whether it's a toe or a heel, with Berry being a heel injury, I think it's something that you definitely have to watch. I think they're being smart about, you know, kind of being precautionary in the preseason, you know, letting him miss practice, you know, miss the Carolina game. But it's definitely something that if you're a pessimist and you're looking at the Chiefs secondary and Eric Berry being hurt, you're not feeling very good right now.
Once again, we're speaking with Matt Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He does great work on BleacherReport.com as well. So I think Chiefs fans are pretty much expecting to take a step back this year. But what kind of record can Chiefs fans be expecting this year? Is this like an 8-8 team, or is this something that's going to go all the way down to 6-10 or something like that?
You know, I think right in that range. I think 6-10, 8-8 is realistic because Alex Smith is still a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but he's good, and he can get things done for you. Jamaal Charles, one of the top three running backs in the NFL, and you can make an argument that his skill set is the best. So I think they have the pieces to win games. It's a tough division. It's a very tough schedule because of the games they won last year. So we'll see. I am worried, but I think the good news is that Andy Reid and John Dorsey are building for the future. I think last year was a surprise year for them. I don't know that they expected to be as good as they were. So now you look at a team who, you know, they made some hard decisions for the health of their salary cap long term, letting those starters on offense go, and now they're building toward the future. A ton of compensatory picks are coming up next year. They'll have a lot more money available on the books, depending on what happens, you know, with Justin Houston, with Alex Smith, with Tom Bahali. So this is a team that's building long term. And I think they're headed in the right direction still.
Let's go ahead and switch gears and go to the team across the state line on the St. Louis side of the state. What are the Rams going to do now that Sam Bradford went down for the year? Are they really just going to turn to Sean Hill?
You know, it would not surprise me. I know it's a different coach, but everyone was surprised when Dick Vermeil just went with Kurt Warner after Trent Green got
hurt.
But
is Sean Hill Kurt Warner?
You know, probably not, but I think there's a precedent for, you know, staying the course. An injury so late in the preseason is brutal because even if you traded for Ryan Mallett, he doesn't know the offense. And, you know, you're going to have to spend 4 to 5 weeks teaching him the offense, helping him implement it. And then you have to worry about getting him reps and practice so that he can, you know, learn the offense and work with the first team guys. So I think you actually really hurt your team by making a move as opposed to maybe going with a guy who, you know, Sean Hill, a good backup quarterback. You know, I've seen him in San Francisco and Detroit, and he's strung together a nice little career as a backup. I think what you like with him is that he does know the offense. He knows the players. He knows that locker room. And he's going to be safe and smart with the ball. And they do have Austin Davis as a young guy who a little more athletic, looks pretty good in the preseason. So you have some different options there. If Hill doesn't look great, then I think you can definitely, you know, look at maybe you try to bring in Kyle Orton at some point if Sean Hill doesn't work out, because Orton has been around the league. I think him installing and implementing an offense on short notice would be a lot easier than someone like Mallett, who's only been in New England. He only knows that type of terminology. So it's a situation to watch. If a quarterback does get cut this week, I could see them bringing someone in. But as far as trading for a quarterback, I'd be pretty surprised at this point.
I think I agree with you on that. I just don't know if it's worth giving up an asset when you're going to be as bad as the Rams seem to be this year, especially in that division. But when I look at this team and I look at their expectations and I look at Sam Bradford, this has got to be it for Sam Bradford, right? This is the end of that experiment in St. Louis.
You know, I think so. And it's funny because hindsight now says, God, they should have drafted a quarterback with one of those picks that they got from Washington, or just stayed pat at number two and drafted Robert Griffin. So I do think that Sam Bradford is probably done. He's under contract until the end of next season, but it's structured in a way that they can really, you know, cut him after this year and move on and save some money. And I think, like you said, if you're a Rams fan, it's almost better to not be good this year because you want to be in that running to get Marcus Mariota or Brett Hundley or a guy like Jameis Winston if he comes out of Florida State. So I think Rams fans are going to be watching a lot of college football this year and having their eyes on the quarterbacks.
God, it seems like Rams fans have been doing that for the last 10 years, though. I just feel bad for him. Once again, we're joined by Matt Miller. He is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. You can read his work on BleacherReport.com. I have a question for you that's kind of a little bit more abstract than the ones that we've been focusing on in the first few minutes of this interview. What across the NFL, when you look at these teams, do we know? Because right now, I feel like other than San Francisco, Denver, and Seattle, and then maybe New England as well, I don't know who's going to be good. Like, yeah, I could listen to an argument that the Chiefs are going to be good this year, but I could also see them going 6-10. Do we know anything definitively other than those four or five teams?
You know, we really don't. And that's what's always, you know, kind of fun about the NFL is you have that top tier. You know, it's like, okay, these teams could win a Super Bowl, and I feel pretty good about that. But then you have that next group, you know, Indianapolis, New Orleans, you could maybe put Philadelphia in there. Teams who it's like, if they get one or two breaks, or, you know, if a young guy comes out of nowhere who maybe we weren't expecting to be so good this year, that they could be a nice story. And then you have the groups, you know, Kansas City, St. Louis, the teams who have talent, but there's something missing. And so, to me, there's always tiers of teams in the NFL. And I think, like you said, you have that top group, and it's like four or five teams who have a really good shot at putting everything together and making a deep run. But I'll tell you, San Francisco has looked pretty bad. I know it's only the preseason. No one wants to panic over a couple preseason games, but they have a lot of work to do before they, you know, have to travel to Dallas for the opener because they just haven't looked like themselves on offense so far.
I mentioned them as one of the teams that I think is going to for sure be good this year, and that's Seattle. Is this the first time in the last, almost 10 years that a team's going to be able to win a playoff game after going to the Super Bowl the previous year or winning the Super Bowl the previous year?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, and that's a great stat that, you know, I think it is 10 years since a team has won, the Super Bowl winning team won a playoff game the next year. I look at, you know, when Green Bay won the Super Bowl in 2010, they looked like a team who they had the talent to repeat. You know, you have Aaron Rodgers, you had Charles Woodson, and they struggled. So you always wonder, you know, with Seattle, there was a lot of turnover there on offense and defense. They let a lot of guys go. They're going young at a lot of positions, but the structure there is so good. So it would take, I would think, something like Russell Wilson getting hurt, Richard Sherman getting hurt, something pretty catastrophic for them to not be, you know, a number one seed or a number two seed in the NFC, which if they're playing at home, they're going to win a playoff game because that, you know, playing up there is just impossible right now.
Once again, joined by Matt Miller, just like one more question here. If people are looking for a team to watch this year that could surprise some people, and I don't want to hear Indianapolis on this because I think that's crazy talk, who's a team that they could watch as a dark horse, I guess, Super Bowl potential team?
If you won't let me say the Colts, I'll go Chicago Bears. I think, you know, you probably hear this a lot, and you will in the future too, but Jay Cutler looks like a different player this year. I think he's bought in more to what Mark Trestman is doing. They have the pieces around him. They have the offensive line. If they can stay healthy on defense, which has been a big problem for them, I think they could surprise people. They made a ton of additions. They, you know, brought in five new guys to help with the pass rush. They're healthy in the secondary, and they drafted pretty well there with Kyle Fuller and Brock Vereen. So I think the Bears would definitely be a team to watch.
He's the best. He's Matt Miller. He's at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. You can read his work on BleacherReport.com. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. We got to do it again soon, man.
You bet, man. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. That is Matt Miller. He is on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. You can also read his work on BleacherReport.com.